But dear people, we know we come to that Lord's Day when we set aside, as we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us, that we should come and we should take the elements that He Himself gave to His church, one of the ordinances He set forth, and that is the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And He said that we are to do this in remembrance of Him. And it is of this place where we desire to do the best we can to keep our minds, or to bring our minds unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to do it in remembrance of Him. And our desire is that we will find ourselves with this period of time, not in a deep way of a message, but as a coming and a message that will cause our heart to be placed upon Christ. And that we would find ourselves coming to the elements of the table in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Lord Jesus Christ gave us this ordinance in saying just that, do this in remembrance of Me. Therefore, we must have our hearts set upon Jesus Christ when we come to the table. You know, it was once in the norm of lifetime that for a person to have someone that he or she would look up to and desire to be like that person. Character used to be honorable, and it also involved the young person to desire to be more like that character that they would see. A young man wanted to be like his father, and a young lady wanted to be like her mother. And no matter what they looked like or how they did, they saw in these adults that character that they believed that would form them into better adults. The father of a young lady, or young man rather, he, as he looked at that, he would find himself wanting to see and pick up those particular traits in that father. Now, even if the young man or the young lady had wicked parents, they would find someplace, and by the very grace of God, they would have the privilege of knowing another adult that they would see in them characteristics that pleased them, and they would hope one day to be like them. Today, we call this role model. Guess what? Jesus is our role model. I believe He means much more than have Me in your minds when you take the Lord's Supper. He means for us to look upon His life and ponder what He did for us and what He is to us right now. He not only saved our lives by His death, He also is our life. We remember Him and honor Him at the table. Then we are to leave the table and to remember Him and honor Him as we live. Last Lord's Day, we looked at the Lord's statement, I am the light of the world. This morning, I want to prepare your hearts for the Lord's Supper by focusing on what those words mean to us as a follower of Jesus Christ. He says, I am the light of the world. Jesus is saying, I am your role model. More than that, He is saying, I am your life. What I am, you will become as a person of grace. We are being formed into the image of Christ. That's what the Bible teaches us. That means many things as for us as we look to the Bible and as we live as Christians. But each one of us know it means that we should have some resemblance to Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks clearly about or concerning light and darkness. And having the light of Jesus Christ in us. Now what I want to do this morning is take you to two passages of Scripture that clearly shows how we are taught to be like Jesus. In one passage I want to focus on, Jesus tells us what we are by grace. In the second one, Jesus tells us how we must live by grace. And both passages has to do with light and darkness. For the first one, Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Last Lord's Day, as I mentioned, we saw in the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God indicating that He is the light of the world. In Matthew chapter 5, we know here's now Jesus Christ has given His Sermon on the Mount, and He says and gives the blessing that comes to those who are with Jesus Christ. But there's one thing He says to them, as they now are in the world, they must actually present something to the world. Notice in verse 13. He says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp but put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Now remember what Jesus said as we looked at it last Lord's Day. One of the I Am's. I am the light of the world. And here we find Jesus Christ now pointing to His disciples and His people, all those who would follow Him, and He's making this statement. He said, "You are the light of the world." We ought to be those who question what Christ is saying at this point. And it's a powerful thing that He says that you are the light of the world. And He's saying here, Jesus is telling us what we are by grace. He's telling us there's a change that has come to each and every one of us who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been saved by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "You are the light of the world." Now, when we look last Lord's Day, we found out that the light here can mean different things. It can mean intellectual knowledge. It can mean also just basically having what we know as the truth of God, the righteousness of God, you know, and those moral incidents or truths that we live by. And so we see here that Jesus Christ said He is the light, and then what He does, He gives to us that which is become light. Now Christ is here pointing to the fact that there has been grace that has come to the people of God. Here we see, now here's the way the children of the kingdom should live. And He's saying in this aspect, you must live like lights in the world. You are the light of the world. He is saying there's theological, moral, ethical goodness that is in the person who is saved by Christ. He said this godly character that is dispersed into society. What are you? Maybe the best way I can picture this is that, you know, as you see, there is a source of light that comes. We look above us and we see the moon, the sun there. And what it does, it brings that light to us. But there's something that is here on the earth that we have and function with us day by day. And that is the light which comes to us through our mechanisms that we have now. And so basically that very light that comes, it has to come through something that actually presents that light or produces that light. We call it electricity. Now the bulbs that we see lit here cannot be lit by themselves. Something has to happen to give that the light, so the light itself would transmit or would be diffused into the very society. When Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," He's saying to them, the disciples there, and to each and every one of us, you are now those bulbs which transmit ethical goodness and righteousness into the world. You have become now, by what I have done with you, who you are to me, the ones who will give to the Word the character of what those who believe in God and how they walk ought to be. You are the light. You display the righteousness of God. You display the goodness of God. All the world, what are they going to see about God? Christ is saying they're not going to see it through other means. They're going to see it through you. And then He goes on. And He says, that being the case, let your light shine before men in such a way that they will glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine. He's saying here, live Let that light come out. Let that light be something that it would be diffused and all would see it. Live to please God and allow lost sinners to see the reality of God through you. He tells us, what do you do with a light? You don't put it under a basket. You put it someplace where it could be useful, right? Light it. Put it on a mantle so all can see. You put it there so all can see what it is. And Jesus is indicating by seeing what it is, it helps the person, we could say in one way, as you look at the light itself, see his or her way, where they're going. In a spiritual sense, a person who is lost, no, not Christ Jesus, how are they going to see their way? And Christ is saying they're going to see their way through you. You who are saved, loving the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, what they're going to see through you is that there is a light of Christ that is shining through you. And that light which is transmitted through you is the very light which will guide them to you. And he says something else too. Now what's going to happen with this? That they are going to see that light. Notice in verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, a lot of people have words on their lips, right? They talk about, oh, I'm this, I'm that, and the other thing. But what is the proof of who you are? It's how you live and what you do. That's it. We got enough mealy-mouthed persons in the world. We got enough big shots telling how great they are and what they're going to do, and they do the opposite. Like I remember back in the day, when I say back in the day for me, that's the day way, way back too. There was a song about a man telling you about he calling you brother. He said, don't come slapping me on the back as a brother, but you have at the same time you got your hands in my pockets. There are people who are telling you how great you are and what you mean to them and what they're going to do to you. And they're looking for the first chance they get to take what you got or to abuse you. Jesus says, when you live in such a world like this, people are going to see what you are. They're going to see goodness. They're going to see good works. They're going to see the reality of what the Word of God is. They're going to see God through you. And he says that because what they're going to do when they see your good works, they're going to glorify your Father in heaven. What you do is going to point back to God. And what they see is going to maybe in some case give them a reason to ask you about this God who you serve. You are the light of the world. It is you who shine forth. Jesus Christ, we saw, he is the light of every man. He is the one. And so it's his light that comes through us. It transmits through us into the world. And everyone looks and they say, wow, this is what a Christian is. The book of Acts, Luke records for us, he said, it was in the church of Antioch where the believers were first called Christians. You know what it means? Little Christs. They look just like him. They sound like him. They act like him. Look what's coming through them. They are diffusing a light into the world which is coming out of them. And so here's what Jesus says. This is what you are by grace. And so when we think about Christ, we think about, first of all, who are we? We are those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are those without all desire is, and that is to glorify God. The lighthouse is something that we see. It basically is set upon a sea, upon a rocky area, to guide all the ships that they could come through. And the darkness will not be there to hinder them and cause most ships to become shipwrecked. No, the light shines to show them the path, where they can go, how they can find a way. Well, what do you think a Christian is? He or she is a light showing people where to go. What do we take for our motto, even for this church? A lighthouse in the city. What is our desire? To diffuse a light in this darkened area, that men and women, boys and girls, may see Christ in us as He transmits through us to a darkened world. So Jesus says, this is what we are by grace. Secondly, a little longer, what we are, how we are to live by grace. Turn with me to another passage. And that's in Ephesians chapter 5. Now the Apostle Paul, called by Christ in a special way, we know about that in the book of Acts, the early portion of it, and how he was sent out to churches to set up churches to preach the gospel, and many churches were set up, and one is the church at Ephesus, and he writes back to the church, and he tells them that not only have you been saved, and you know they've been saved, because you can find that as he teaches about the church and speaks about them, but he writes letters to them and he tells them how they must conduct their lives. And if you read the New Testament, you'll find out that how they are to conduct their lives has a two-pronged idea or purpose before it. How you're going to live and how you're going to guide those who live who need to see Christ Jesus. And so he points us to say how we live by grace. Notice if we pick it up in verse 6. He says in verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 5, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of life consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to God." Then he tells them, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." Now you know where all of us were before we got saved. We were those who were actually in what could be called a whole world of darkness. Flip back a couple of pages to Ephesians chapter 2. And notice what the apostle says there. Verse 1. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." We know who that is. That is the devil himself. He has man by the grip. His philosophy he puts in man. He tells man, live, have fun, do everything you want, live the way you want to live. And Paul says, this is basically what he says there. He says in verse 3, "Among them," those are the darkness of the ones who are disobedient in the world, "among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." This is what we were. It was the mercy of God. So Paul says, as we look at ourselves, what were we one day? We were those who were taken up in darkness. We lived in darkness. We enjoyed darkness. And we saw last week, those who are in darkness, they won't come to the light. They run from the light. Because the light will show their deeds, which are wicked and deeds. So he says, this is what we see. We live that way. And back over in the 5th chapter, he says, therefore, verse 7, "Do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness." You were changed. You've come out of that. He says, but now you are light in the Lord. And here again, he says, because of this, we should live such a way. And that way we should live as to produce and showing that we are those who live as children of light. And then he says another thing, walk as children of light. Now here you find that the Apostle Paul is saying to us that you are formerly darkness. He's indicating to us that you have been saved by grace. Now, the change is not a change that we have ourselves. We can't produce this change. We read in Romans chapter 3 this morning that there's nothing we can do. We are nothing but in darkness, and we can't change ourselves by the works of the flesh. Nothing will be done. I don't care if you say right now today, I'm going to read the Ten Commandments. And what I'm going to do is each one of those commandments, I'm going to do my best to keep every one of them. We cannot do it. And even at this point, if you could, but you can't, what about all the sins before that? What are you going to do about those? Nothing you can do about them. They are now those things which hold you and keep us, and that therefore we can no longer find ourselves actually living in any way. We are in darkness. But when Paul can say here, you were formerly darkness, what changed? Grace changed. Jesus Christ did it. He came. He gave us new life. And that new life now, it actually brings a light into us. And it is the light of Christ. Because he says here, but now you are light in the Lord. You have now the light of Christ in you. And this is not something that we can go and plop down money and buy. We can't be good in a service and hope that God should look at us and say, okay, I'm going to give it to you. It's him who does it himself. And it comes to us through his death. But he says, you were formerly darkness. Now you are the light in Christ. You are now those who live in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? We all were living in darkness. Let no one say that he or she was not that. And someone say, you know, I was a pretty good person. But you still were living in darkness. You was a pretty good person because you were filled with pride. You thought you were so much, and that therefore you lived that way. We lived in darkness. We had no contact or understanding of the light of God in Christ, or even the gospel. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. This means that we lacked the true knowledge of God. We were sinners, depraved in our nature and in our actions. Everything that came from us was that which was akin to darkness. We had no truth, no light in us. We didn't like anything. We had no sense of holiness and righteousness. Those were foreign to us. We would not live that way. God was just a philosophical thought in our dead, corrupt minds. Some of you are like that right now. You're doing your own thing to try to serve God, which you have in your mind. But it's so filled with darkness. And here was the Apostle Paul says, this is what we were. But he says, but now we are light in the Lord. Meaning that the light of Jesus Christ is the very thing that is in us. It exists in us. We exist in him. You and I transmit his life into the world, as I indicate. The holy character of Jesus Christ is now being presented through us. You may say, some of you especially, if you don't know Christ, you're not saved. You know, how can I see Christ? How can I know what he is? How could I know how he lived and what he did? Well, you know what? Look at Christians. Are they perfect? No. But is there something that is truly different about them? That true is that they themselves live for the glory of Christ. They live because they understand Christ, not because they were able to sit down like the gurus do on a high mountain and come up with a great new insight. No, it's a new, never dying soul. It's a soul that changed us. It's the soul that made us that way. The holy character of Jesus Christ, which is the light of the world, shines through the Christian. Their lives preach to everyone who they come in contact with. It preaches to them that there's a gospel and there's a truth about God and Christ. That's what the Christian life does. And this is what they do. This is who they are. They walk this way. The truth about sin and hell and judgment. I remember confessing a sin to an unconverted person because of something I said. Not anything bad, but I just said, you know what, the way you're thinking, you're going to hell. And I had to come back and confess sin. I don't have a hell to put nobody in. Instead of being kind, to that unconverted man. I said something that would probably be more raised up in him, more anger about it. But when I came and told him that, he was shocked. He was shocked that I would be so concerned about him. He would mention that. Last Lord's Day, I think we left here with knowing and seeing that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and that we would be those who display that light. Sitting in a doctor's office this week, well, I should say going through the week, I pray, God, let me be a light to somebody. Let there be something done through me through this week that will make somebody see something. Sitting in the doctor's office. Well, it wasn't a doctor's office. Treatment. You had to do imaging place. Sitting and reading a book. One lady sits over here by me, facing this way. Another lady sits over here. They talk back and forth. The Hispanic ladies. This one gets up and goes, and she turns to me. She said, "You know what we were just talking about? You don't see people reading books anymore. They're in their cell phones. They don't have any kind of interaction with people anymore." You know, and so I talked briefly with her, and I was wondering, you know, where was that going? But before long, she made it clear that she was trusting in God and all that, and basically that position, sitting there reading that book. Now, she couldn't read the title of the book, but it gave her the idea. This man, he's not reading funny papers. He reading something. And so there was that godly greeting to her for me. And I said, "Thank you, Lord. I don't know what that's going to do, but brethren, do we think of every time we go into the world, we are shining the light of Jesus Christ in the world? Somebody's going to look at us. Somebody's going to see us. Somebody's going to be questioning about us. If it's not a verbal question to us, it'll be a question in our mind. And some people are going to see, walk away, and not see nothing. And maybe so glad that I saw that man or woman." And this is what we do, brethren. We are the ones. We are the ones who show unto them the truth that exists between sin and judgment. That is something that is real. And so when we kind of come to this, we know now Jesus Christ is the light. You and I are lights. And so therefore, what we should do is be those who live in such a way. Now, Apostle Paul comes here and he says in this aspect, walk as children of light. How should we walk? How should we live? That is play on words that we have here. Walk as children of light. I begin with saying that they are children who may see father or mother, and they have them as their role models, and they want to be like them. They see, they pick up the characteristics of mother and father. Here, Paul is saying, walk as children of light. Now, now we find the children always point back to who they are a part of. It points back to as to their offspring and where they came from. Who are their parents? And that brings them to that very expectation and seeing and trying to be like them. A person that will be of some kind of good to the world. By the work of salvation, dear people, you have become a child of light. You have come one now. As you're looking back to the previous phrase, you find that you are a child who is in the light of the Lord. And therefore, you are marked by that, and this is the scriptures teach you and I. This is where we are. We are in light. By the new birth, you have become like Him, that is Jesus Christ, and like God. That means that you walk according to His word and the grace that is in you. That's the very thing that keeps you. In the scriptures, we find that Jesus makes it plain that who you are in grace is that one who has now been brought to birth by Him. And who you are in grace is that you're going to live in such a way. Paul is stating here, this is what you once were. You are not to live that way any longer. And he says in verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. You're not to live like they. You find yourself living according to the word of God. And that's the very thing that you and I need. And we see the Word of God tells us clearly it is because of Jesus Christ, who's the light of the world, that you and I now are different. He tells us in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. So you think much, but as you walk out into the world, people are going to see Christ in you. Do you think much about that? Do you think much about the fact that they're going to see Christ in you because they're going to see goodness? They're going to see righteousness? They're going to see truth? And as you go back in history, you'll find that those who trust in Christ, they would not sin. They will not turn from the established foundation that they have from the Word of God. They would rather suffer, whatever the case may be, rather than turn from it. One man comes to mind. He was an Olympic runner. Eric Little. He would not do anything on the Lord's Day but worship God. He was in the Olympics at that time. And they scratched him and put him into another race that was going to be on Sunday. He said, no, I can't race. In other words, the gold medal doesn't mean nothing to him if he has to disobey God. Nothing whatsoever. People today, they say, yes, I trust God, I trust Christ. But then this apple over here, this joyous thing over here, I'll take that, you know. God will understand. He said no. And he's just one of many who said and done the same thing. No, I don't. I want to please God, not myself. Paul says, here's what we must do. To find ourselves walking according to Him, you are like Him. This means that you walk according to His Word. Look at 1 John chapter 1. Keep your finger in Ephesians 5. Now here's again, we find there's several texts. I looked at many of them. I said, well, we don't have time to take off. But God keep bringing up this idea of darkness and light. And He brings it up to show that we know who we are in this whole idea of darkness and light. Darkness is ignorance and lying and all kind of thievery and sin. Light is truth and righteousness and goodness. Notice in 1 John chapter 1, he talks about, he says about the word of life, that's Jesus Christ. And he talks about being manifested. Now, we'll run down to verse 3. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. And here he says, this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. A lot of people say, you know, I can sin. I've been saved, so I can sin. It doesn't matter. No, he says, no. No. And he says this, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from sin. John is saying, do not think for one moment that as a Christian, we can make it easy for ourselves. I am a Christian, and knowingly walk in sin and think everything is all right. He brings up the idea of light again. And that's what we look at. It is the light that we should see. And we should know that this is the very thing that we're going to do. We must live as those as children of light. Back into Ephesians chapter 5, Paul goes on and he says, now since you are light, there's something that is produced in you. Notice in chapter 8, For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the world. And the Lord, walk as children of light. And then there's a phrase in parentheses. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So he's saying, walk in the light. Then he says there's a fruit that is produced from the light. Jesus says, you don't get good fruit off a bad tree. You don't get bad fruit off a good tree. John's saying here, there's something going to be produced by those who are walking in the light. And he says it consists of this. All goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness, good works. Moral way you live and the things you do, that's goodness. How you treat people, that's goodness. Righteousness, doing what is right as according to God's word, standing on that which is right. Truth, that's integrity and reliability. We can rely upon him or her because he speaks the truth. They say what they mean, and they don't have these kind of words that have different nuances to it. No, there's no falsehood in them. No lying. And he says in our walk like this, he mentions, it has a purpose to it. And what the Apostle Paul is saying, as you have the light, the children of light, there is a reason behind everything that you're doing. And it's not to get the accolades of your brother or your sister. Notice in verse 10, and all we are doing here, trying to learn, verse 10, what is pleasing to the Lord. That's it. Let's come. A man, a woman, boy, or girl, who are children of light, they are not those who are saying, I want to have everybody slap me on the back. Or I want to gain something in this world. Now, all we do, we know this much. We are displaying the righteousness of Christ. The light of Christ is coming through us. And I believe, brethren, if we come to the Lord's table, and we see here now, here Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. If our remembrance of Christ only says, well, this represents the body, this represents the blood of Christ, go through the ritual, as it were. It's not a ritual, but go through it as if it is a ritual, and just go about our business, I think we miss it. We miss the whole picture. We miss what Christ is doing. This should bring us to the place where we think more deeply on Christ. What did he do for you? Did he just set up some kind of pathway, philosophy for us to walk down? Did he speak good things when he came into the world, and all that you and I have to do is just read them and know it, we'll be better people? No. This represents his death. He died for our sins. He died that you will not die. An eternal death. Cast into hell for all eternity. He died to free you from the judgment and the wrath of God. And so when you look at that, you say, this is what Christ has done. But the scriptures tell us he's done more than that. He died also that you may live. And that living will be living through him and his light. We should come to the table and we should take the elements of the Lord's Supper. But we say, Lord, as I see you now represented here as dying for me, I should need to see you also as living for me. And therefore, I will live for you. And what we should do, each and every one of you who love the Lord Jesus Christ and you know you are saved, you say, Lord, I'm going to walk out of this place today and be a light for Christ. Have that as the forefront of our mind. We're going to be a light for Christ Jesus. We're not just going to stumble into the world and just live our little lives any way we want to. And he has actually just moved out of our minds. We did our thing on Sunday and that was it. So let me live. I got a world face there. I got things to do, you know. And Lord, I put you on the shelf. I have to give you my things. I'll pick you up again next Sunday. He has to be brought into everything we do. And let Him be the very light that transmits through us and through the world. One way, stated clearly in the Scriptures, the way people will get saved, they're going to see us. Jesus told His disciples, "You're going to be My witnesses." They're going to see you, and they're going to know what salvation is. Peter said, "Live your life in such a way that people will ask the reason for the hope that is in you." Amen. Brethren, yes, we should have a gospel outreach. We've got means of going for the lost and try to get them in. But I say this, our first means of be a gospel light and let people see you and let them desire what you have. Reading the book the week past, still reading in it, says one of the reasons why generations are getting darker and darker is because of some Christians stopped doing what they ought to do. And one of the things they face and focus upon is the Christian home. What are we doing? We live in a world today that even in Christian homes, our children are so messed up into the world rather than in the Bible. Where's the reading of the Word of God? Where's guiding the Word of God to our children? It's not there. We're letting the world teach them. We should show them and must show them that they are lights. Well, I think the application to you who hear and love the Lord Jesus Christ is clear. What are we going to do? Are we going to let Christ shine? Remember that song? He said it was a kid song. "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. You let your light shine in the world." For the unconverted, it's a horrible thing. We understand that this is strange to you because you are still walking in darkness. You don't see this. You don't realize it. But I say this for you. You need not turn it there. I record it for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says what your situation is. It says here, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing or dying, in whose case the God of this world," and that is the devil, "has blinded the minds of the unbeliever so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." You may not even know what I'm talking about right now. But it's just as real as if the devil is standing right in front of you and he's putting his hands over your eyes that you can't see in a mental way. Or his fingers in your ears so you can't hear nothing. That's the reality. But you know what? We're not going to go and try our best to smack his hands down or pull his hands away. We cry out to God that God will be merciful to you. And we hope, dear people, that something you see in us that will cause you to say, "This is real. This is real. I want to know what it is. I want to know how it is to be one who has the light of Christ shining in him or her." May God bless you. Let's pray.